I'd like to invite you to turn to the Word of God. If you want to follow using the Pew Bibles, it is on page 1785. The passages for today are taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. This is the Word of God. It is an appropriate passage because today, among the things that we want to say thank you to God for are the people who are serving in the body of Christ. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And then continuing with verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. May God bless the reading as well as the doing of his word.
Amen. Before I begin today, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the ways that you show your grace, and they are so many. Lord God, as we gather here today, I pray that you would just pour out your grace once again upon our hearts and reveal to us what you want to speak to us today. Lord God, I thank you for each person here who is so precious, and for those who couldn't be here with us today, God, equally precious in your sight. We pray a blessing over all of them, that you may unite us together, God, in the greater work of the Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that today you would just reveal to us exactly what the scripture is speaking. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, you know, before I go into it, I just want to throw out something to make us ponder a little bit. Have you heard of that phrase, independence? You know, the virtue of being independent. In many cultures, independence is often seen as this virtue. And, you know, we appreciate the people who can say, you know, no, I can handle it by myself. You know, I'm a self-made person. All my success is because I didn't ask help from anybody. And I know in Korean culture, sometimes we actually admire people who can get things done without having to burden anyone else. In Japanese culture, in fact, when someone does something for you, The appropriate way to say thank you is actually to say sorry, すみません. And they say sorry because they're like, I'm sorry I wasn't able to do it on my own, so I have to kind of, and yeah, actually, I just noticed my Canadian accent just came out, didn't it? Sorry. Yes, get used to that. Sorry. Okay. And so that comes out. Sometimes we say, I'm sorry that we had to, burden you because I couldn't do it on my own. And, it's interesting that sometimes this cultural influence comes into the culture of Christianity, into the church. Sometimes we think that the church can do things on their own. I don't know, some of you guys and girls in high school, you had the school project you had to do, and no one's doing it, so they just look at you, and they think, well, you're the Asian kid, you must be smart, why don't you do it? You were born with math in your brain, you can do it, and so you have to do everything on your own. Some people get frustrated at that, but then other people get frustrated is that, I'm in a group, and everyone's really dumb, so I don't want their help, they're going to bring down my grades, so I'm just going to do it by myself, right? And sometimes we even do that in the church. We're thinking, this ministry is really hurting. It's time for me just to, do it by myself. Really, I know you want to help, but really, the way you help hurts me. Don't help, right? Some people are thinking, maybe, really, what good is that person? Or maybe it's the reverse. What good am I? That person's so great. They seem to be so independent. I don't know how to help, really. And then sometimes it can splinter off into all sorts of thinking. Have we thought sometimes in our quiet moments, I don't want to brag about this, but really, if I was not here, this church would fall apart. I am the glue that holds this church together. Yea, verily, if I left, the walls would fall apart right now. Or other people might say, I am just that decoration on the wall. I come on Sundays, and, I just sit there at the back like this, and then I just see you next week, and life continues. Because I'm a behind-the-scenes person. People don't need me for other things. There's no place for me because I have nothing to give. And how interesting is that these very issues were in the Corinthian church. We read about the church of Corinth in these two letters. Paul had a real passion and a real heart for this church. He loved this church so dearly, but this church did have its struggles. Just to let you know a little bit about the city of Corinth, it was a very successful city because a lot of merchants would do their trading there, and so a lot of merchants from all over would meet there. And so you'd have a very cosmopolitan, very multicultural, multi-generational, and just multi-philosophical place. A lot of people are gathering in this place. And because of that wonderful, rich diversity, you got this wonderful setting of a city that a lot of different things are going on. But the difficulty of this city, too, was the exact same problem. It had a lot of diversity in it. A lot of people were very educated. A lot of people were not. Some were slaves, some were free. Some were Greek, some were Jew. There were a lot of people who came from a pagan background. Some people had a very strong traditional Jewish background. And so we saw some of these kind of things creeping up in the Corinthian church. So if you read through 1 Corinthians, and I recommend you do, if you read straight to start to finish, you'll see that there were a lot of issues going on. Some people were thinking that, we have a higher piety than you do. We know how to do true religion. Your religion is terrible. You imported it from here. Or some people thought that, I have a certain privilege. Some people said, I have a certain moral grounds. I can do this. You can't do that. Some people said, I'm gifted in a certain way. I know God in a certain way. I like a certain pastor more than this one. I like this other pastor. I'm the better follower. I like Jesus. I like, I'm better than all of you. There was a lot of controversy. And I recall when I came here, I preached on 1 Corinthians 13. And so it's kind of funny I'm preaching on 1 Corinthians 12. I probably should have preached on this and then preached on 13 after. But I will try and explain the sequence of why those two chapters are very important together. But at the end of all of this diversity and all the tension, Paul says this. He says, though you are all gifted differently, though you are also different. You contribute in different ways. But this is the important thing he's trying to say. Think of it like a body. Though the body has many different members, you are all part of that one body. You see, it doesn't matter if you are slave, Jew, free, Greek. You are all one. And why are you one? Because Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to this earth because he loved you so much to give his life as an atoning sacrifice. And that through his death, you are now freed from all of the things that separated you because of sin. And in Jesus Christ's resurrection, he's given you a new life. Just as Jesus rose from the dead to have a new life, he's given you a new life. And this new life is marked by sending the one Holy Spirit to live in you. And that one Holy Spirit does not just live in a select few, does not live amongst the privileged. It lives in all of you. And the only reason that we today as a church can come together, despite all of our diversity, is because that one Holy Spirit lives in us. God has given us the one Spirit to do the one work of God in the one body through many different members. But the way we do this one work will come out in a lot of different ways. And Paul says, each body part is indispensable. Though the functions are different, we can't judge other parts of it. We can't say that this part is not important. We can't say to this part, we don't need you. I remember my youth pastor talking once about just, it's funny how you don't realize how important each little part of your body is until maybe it's not working. I remember I struggled with carpal tunnel syndrome in high school, and I had to wear a brace on my right wrist right here. And I didn't realize how crucial a wrist is. You know, it's not really that big. I don't think of the wrist as like the indispensable body part, but truly when I couldn't move it, there were so many things that I couldn't do. Without our thumbs, though they're so small, you can't really pick up anything. You know, because of this in the animal kingdom, we're the envy of all creatures. You know, we got the thumb. You know, this is a big deal. Did you know? With your big toe, as ugly and as smelly as it is, if you didn't have it, you couldn't stand. And therefore, we cannot say, the eye cannot say to the thumb, I don't need you, because somehow we're all working together to do the one work of the one body. And there certainly is a lot of work to be done. All are invited to do that one work of the body. And Jesus said himself that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. You know, there is so much work to be done as being a Christian disciple in this earth. So much grace that needs to be extended in so many different ways. And so I really wanted to just give you this message because today is Volunteer Sunday, and Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. And so many of you, you know, as a pastor, I really want to encourage you, just being a, you know, kind of an outsider coming inside, I really am impressed by how many willing hearts are here. And I'm just so thankful for all the people who have put in their time and energy. And I just want to say thank you so much for your sacrifice of love in so many different ways. Things that are regarded publicly and not publicly. And the point of this passage, what Paul is trying to do here, is he's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to give honor to all the parts. And you know, he does give this list as we read here. He says in verse 8, you know, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healing by the one Spirit. And you know, I think one danger is sometimes when people read this scripture is that they're focusing more on the gifts. They're looking, let's see, Spirit, message of wisdom. No, I don't think we have a lot of that in our church. Knowledge. No, not a lot of knowledgeable people. And faith. No, not a lot of faith here. But you know what? The real focus of this message is, of this scripture reading, is the same thing that happens throughout. He says, the Spirit to another by means of the same Spirit. By the same Spirit. And he's trying to say, by the same Spirit, by that one Spirit, look at all of the things that are happening. By the one Spirit, look at the healing, look at the teaching, look at the counseling. Everyone is doing something because of the one Spirit. Some of you may have served food, taught Bible studies, helped with music, served on boards, served on ministry teams. But all of it is one Spirit. And Paul says, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. The parts that are more public are not more important than the ones that we don't see. I can tell you that, you know, during the week while I was doing my office hours, we have some very important people taking care of the church. You know, you might take for granted. Why does it look so beautiful on the outside? Because of the grounds are well kept. You know, how is it that, you know, this place hasn't shut down because of utility bills? Surely the pastor at the front needs no special honor because we're already at the front. I'm simply doing what God has called me to do. But that doesn't make me any more important than anyone else in this church. And I give great honor and great respect to those who have not been noticed throughout the week. Without you, truly, this church could not stand. And Paul says we need to put special honor on the less presentable parts. Let's put special honor on that thumb we take for granted, on that smelly toe. And please, you know, afterwards, don't say, like, I think you're the smelly toe. You know, please, you know, that's not the point of the message. I don't want to be, like, use my sermon against me. But you see, we give special honor to those people because they're so precious. All of you are so precious and so indispensable. And, you know, I thought it'd be nice, you know, at this moment, if, you know, if you're able to, and if I heard that some people said this church is a little shy, but if you've helped in any other way, in any way, you know, whether it be large or small, volunteered your time, if you want to stand, we'd love you to, or, like, raise your hand. Let's, if we could just do that right now, it'd be really wonderful. Let's just look around. Let's see, like, you know, the great gifts that God has given to us. In any way you've helped out, whether it be even, like, just the one Sunday, or, like, you've been doing something regularly, I encourage you to stand or raise your hand if you want to, if that's easier. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be shy. Thank you. I know it's not just these people. That's right. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Right. There's more people. I know there is. Yeah, thank you for standing back there. Look at this. There's a lot more. These people are just bashful. But you know what? The point is not to make you great, but to say, like, look at that. This is a sign of the Spirit moving in our church. Who wants to say? Who could possibly say that CCC, no one is helping at this church? That the Spirit of God is not moving in this church? I think if I squeezed, I was being nice to you guys. In the future, I'll be a little bit more, like, aggressive. But, you know, a lot of you stuck up your hands, and I'm sure more could. And you could stand up several times over. And why am I doing this? To show you that God is at work. Amen? The Spirit is at work at our church. Amen? And why? Because the one Spirit is moving through all of you. You know, one thing that I realized when I first lived in Japan, I lived in Japan for 2 years, and it was the first time I was living in a country where I had no relatives. I knew no one there. I had no friends. I was just starting from scratch. And I remember just waking up in my room one day, and as I woke up in this strange bedroom, I was thinking, you know, if I wanted to, I could just lie here and just get nothing done, you know. And if I did, nothing would get done. You know, I suppose I don't have to get up and go to my job. I suppose I don't have to get up and clean the house. I could just lie there. But the reality is you can't live your life like that. But the thing is, the Spirit has been rising you up. Rather than just kind of being on a spiritual bed of apathy, God has raised up many people here, many servants here, to do the work of God. And I encourage you, if you haven't considered it, to join a part of what God is doing. Because God is surely moving. You know, there are tasks, there are committees, there are positions. Some people have said, this is the more spiritual thing. You know, let us join the prayer meeting because that's where the real work happens. Or let us do the committee because, like, this is really where the church moves. And I like to say the church moves in all of them. You know, let's continue to be creative about the different ways that God is moving in our church. You know, if there's something that you've never considered before in serving, why don't you consider it? Maybe God is actually kind of poking at your heart and you've continually been pushing it away. Or maybe God has been challenging. You know, we love and appreciate how you've been so faithful in the administrative aspects, but maybe God is calling you to contribute to the spiritual depth and well-being of our spiritual community. You know, when I finish the sermon, I'd really like us to have a brief moment of reflection to ask God, you know, what are the ways in which I can offer my gifts to the work of the Spirit at CCC, in public and in private? Perhaps God is putting on my heart that I ought to be more faithful in interceding. You know, and not just simply intercede when the pastor asks me to. Maybe God is awakening me to learn how to have a lifestyle of worship with my family at home and not simply just ask for it to come here. What are the different ways that God could be pouring that out? You know, as a pastor, I've definitely been in the situation where many expect the pastor to do a little bit of everything. But if we look at the scripture, the real paradigm that we need to be following is that God is asking everyone to do something. You know, truly there is no team that you can simply just have, you know, the one person be all the positions and score all the goals and coach everything, receive, give the refreshments. And just the same, God is calling us together as a team. But if you want to talk more biblically, as a body. Because there are different kinds of service, as we read in verse 5, but one Lord. And we are all so indispensable. Like a body, we can't say to the other body parts that we don't need each other. You know, the world tries to do everything on its own. But God has called us to do something that's kind of countercultural. To humble ourselves and say that, you know what, I do need you. That more than how you hinder me, God has given you to me that you may bless me and bless the greater work of the body. You know, all of you here are a special gift to each other. I know when I got married to Rhea, I was thinking, I wasn't going to do that. I was thinking, you know, how much now that we're together in this covenant of love, that she will add to my life and that she will benefit me. And we're not going to get married to each other, so don't worry, we're not like that. But we are together as one body. And let's begin to pray for each other and say, like, how can you add to me? How can you bless me? And to do the greater work that God wants us to do. And at this point, the big objection or the big reservation that many throw my way after pastoring all these years is that many people say, you know, I would like to serve, but I don't know how to serve. Or people have said to me, you know, I would like to serve, Pastor Sam, but I don't really feel gifted in anything. And, you know, I really want to encourage people who struggle with this kind of understanding to let you know that God did not choose you because of your talents and your gifts. God has given you a spirit, and through the spirit, he has given you gifts. And it's not because I'm here before you because I am so talented, because I am so wonderful. I can assure you, I'm not. But for some reason, by God's grace, God has given me gifts that I cannot boast in. But I will talk about them because they have been given to me by God. And it's not about how gifted you are, but it's about the Spirit who gives gifts. And I believe, as we read here, that God is well aware of what CCC needs. It's not like, you know, I think we need to pray a bit louder because I don't think God realizes we really need a beautiful, like, PowerPoint projector screen. I mean, you know, God, I don't know if you, like, I know, God, you, back in the old times, you did the whole thing with, like, the cloud in the sky, nice, but now it's all about PowerPoint. God, really, this is where we want to move. And, you know, I think God wants to say to us, is like, you know, I know what's going on. And I have given you the gifts that you need
Do you have the faith to believe that you do? Do you have the faith to believe that CCC can do the work of Jesus Christ here on earth to make God known and make him known? God has given you the Spirit to say that I have not left you alone. I have given you all that you need. Let's take faith and live in that. And the last thing I'd like to say is probably what I should, was probably what the sermon was all about on 1 Corinthians 13. Probably I should have put it here. You see, this is why the great 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is often taken out of context. People say, oh, this is such a wonderful reflection about love. But this is actually just a part, an extension of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the context of it. Paul is saying, I want you to pursue gifts. I want you to get out there. Be one body. Look at the wonderful things that God is doing in this world through the Holy Spirit. And God is doing it through you. Look at all the wonderful gifts that he's pouring out. But let me say this. There is a great gift. You know, it might be teaching. It might be pastoring. But there is a greatest gift. Enter 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The greatest gift of all is love. I will show you the most excellent way. Because Paul says to them, I don't care if you can prophesy like no one else. I don't care if you can pray in the tongues of angels. I don't care if you can give up everything you have to the poor. I don't care if you're so sacrificial that you surrender your body to the flames. You can do all of these things in such a way that you do not have love. You can volunteer in such a way, at a church even, and not have love. You can be a pastor and preach the most inspiring sermons and touch people's hearts. But if you don't do it in love, God says, I count this as nothing. In fact, God says, I count this as something that's even annoying to my ear, like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And how often have we made the measure of our gifts or the work of our body by simply what we do? And God is saying, a deeper thing, we are one body and we are doing many things, but do not just simply test us by the evidence of our programs, by the evidence of the number of our congregation, by the evidence of the look of our pews and the building. Because surely we can do all of these things without love. I say to you with some sadness, I have met many pastors who have preached messages without love. I have met many people who have done great works of charity without love. Sad to say, I've met even people who have done great works of social service, great works of prayer, but at the end of it, there has been no love there. And in the final day when God comes before us and asks us, who have you been as my faithful disciple? He will finish it all by saying, so was this done in love? And if it wasn't, he might say to us, you know, you did so many things. But to be honest, I found it quite offensive to me. I found it quite annoying. And he will go to that small church that looked very unimpressive. He will go to that small church that was not very articulate, was not very flashy. But you will say, though you struggled, but you struggled with love. And though you did not have many things, God did a beautiful thing in you because you loved as one body. I want to be that church. Amen. I would rather be that church than any other church. Let the refining fires of God come through our church. And as all the dross is burned away, let what remains is a church that loves and volunteers and gives all their time and energy in love. Let there be no one here who's like a self-proclaimed martyr. Look at all I've done for you. No more bitter resentment, but someone who has come here to say, I came because I had that one Spirit that is in all of you to be that work of love. We are one Spirit because of the Holy Spirit. We are one body because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. And as we pray, I encourage you right now to even just ask very simply, you know, Lord God, what is a way in which you're putting on my heart to serve the body here at CCC? Ask that God would make that clear to you right now in this holy place. God, what are you asking me to offer up to you as a living sacrifice? Lord Jesus, we ask that you make us people excited, thankful, encouraged to serve the one body. Lord God, we pray over this church that if there are any members of this body that have been separated through bitterness or lack of forgiveness or resentment, that God, you would just pour out your healing right now through the Holy Spirit and join us together as one body under one Holy Spirit. We pray thanksgiving for the great diversity we have in this church, all these different age groups, different backgrounds. And we pray, God, that you would just bring us together. Lord God, in the days to come, may we be a church that is eager to offer up our lives as living sacrifices to you. We pray this in Jesus.